Not the Galatians. I used to have a friend of mine used to always ask me, which one are you saying? Colossians, Colossians with the C. Chapter 3. I'm going to read the first two verses, then I'm going to skip and I'll guide you as I do. The first two verses say, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, whose Christ, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Mm-hmm. And if you skip over to verse 12, it says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop reading that. A mouthful. What a powerful scripture. And that's primarily what I'll be doing today. I'm going to let Paul do most of the preaching and the teaching because Paul got it.
All right.
Paul understood it. Mm-hmm. And today we'll be using as a topic, a very simple topic, is actually the short question. Got fruit?
Okay.
Simple enough that nobody will forget that. So simple question that we'll pose several times today. Got fruit? That's what we as Christians ought to be about, having fruit, producing fruit. Just to go back and just recap a little, when this year started, we're on a seeking venture this year. We're trying to just move a little closer to the Lord, and we're going to do it as a church, but that's not what we're out to do. We're out to move a little closer individually. As we move a little closer individually as a church, we will certainly move a little closer. So we started this year talking about a vision of heaven. Just getting a vision of heaven. And all that means is that you're going to elevate yourself to the next level. You're gonna find yourself where, as we've talked in the last couple of Sunday schools, that on the mount, when you see Christ as he is, when you try to obtain to this vision of heaven in 2011, it will just elevate you to a closer relationship with the Lord. And then we talked about comprehending and hosting a miracle, just saying that I've got myself right. I've prayed and I've spent time with the Lord, and right now the Lord could use this vessel because I've cleaned it up, and now I'm ready for the Lord to be able to use me. So if he wants to use my life for a miracle, he can certainly use me because he has full access. Then we talked about understanding the higher calling, and certainly we will be doing that throughout the year, this understanding the higher calling, just trying to figure out what is this higher calling. And first of all, are my ears sensitive enough to hear the higher calling, and do I recognize when God is telling me something and moving me and directing me?
All right.
Then we spoke on the subject, do you know who Jesus is? Mm-hmm. And certainly that this is just a profound question, and it pierced hearts to think about, do I truly know who
right.
Jesus is, or do I need to move a little closer to the Lord? But this morning, we want to speak on the subject of got fruit. And what that means is that it says, are you being or doing what you are called to do? Because when you start doing and what you're called to do and being who God calls you to be, you will certainly bear fruit.
Uh-huh.
Got fruit. It just kind of stuck in my head. So this scripture that we come from this morning, in these few verses from Paul's letter to the Colossians, he provides a simple and direct instruction for living a Christ-filled life and thus producing much fruit, as was described in the scripture this morning, coming from Galatians 5. When you talk about fruit, Galatians defined it as this, that, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us.
Yes.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here there's no conflict with the law. I was asked this morning a question about, are we still under the Ten Commandments? Are we still obligated to fulfill the Ten Commandments? And the answer is certainly, yes, we are. But when you are bearing fruit, when you got fruit, you won't have to worry about doing the Ten Commandments because it will come naturally.
Yes. Amen.
I won't have to read it. Somebody could look at me and see the Ten Commandments when I got fruit. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
See, the Lord desires that all of us, his children, bear fruit. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, when you look into the scriptures, it's fruit is described in the scriptures in various ways. It includes godly character. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Also, it involves worship offered to God. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, what we want to do this morning is fairly simple. The Lord just made it so plain what we need to do to gain a fruitful relationship.
Yes.
So this morning I want to share with you three keys to a fruitful relationship. Three keys. And I'm going to give them to you up front. and then we can walk through some things. The first key to a fruitful relationship is realizing who you are. That came up in Sunday school this morning. Realizing who you are. The second key to a fruitful relationship is realizing who he is. And the third key is defining that relationship. Let me see if we can say it like this. All of you who are married and the ones as the teenage group, the ones that's looking at relationships and whatnot, you know, it's been said you have to find out before you go out talking about dating someone or getting close. You need to know who you are.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
Because too many times you're going out, people are going out and not know who they are, and they discover who they are in a relationship. It's a little bit late then. So you need to know who you are. And then if you're talking about a relationship, you need to know who they are. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think all even down to little children can understand that when you're defining any kind of relationship, you need to know who you are and who the other person in that relationship is. And then you start to define that relationship. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at knowing who we are, when Paul spoke to the Colossians, he said, determine who you are. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ.
All right.
If.
Mm-hmm.
If ye be risen with Christ,
mm-hmm.
then seek those things which are above.
Mm-hmm.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Is that right?
Yes.
And then he went a bit further. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, forgive him, just like Christ forgave you.
Yes.
And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Does that sound like you? Because if it does not sound like you, it means that you need to do some work, because you need to know who you are before you can get into this relationship. You need to know who you are and what you can do.
Yes.
Let the peace of God rule your heart. Thank you, Paul.
Yes.
So how do you know when you are who you ought to be? Got fruit?
Okay.
If you want to know if I am where I ought to be, just check yourself. Have you got fruit? Because if you don't have fruit, then you're probably not where you need to be.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then you need to understand who he is. So if you look back in Colossians 1 and 9, Paul says in this letter, for this cause we also,
yes,
since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Yes.
And he comes on down to 1:13 and says, when he starts to define who Jesus is, he said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Then he goes on, he says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Yes.
Do you know who Jesus is? He goes on, he says that he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
All things.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So, do you know, if you know Jesus the way you are? Got fruit? Do you know who you are? Do you know who he is? Got fruit?
All right.
Hallelujah. Then step three. Define the relationship. In other words, determine whose you are.
Whose you are.
You ever had a relationship and one person says about the other one that he or she completes me. Yeah, you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. See, when you get this relationship with Jesus, then he will complete you.
Yes. Yes.
When you know how to define the relationship, you see, when a man and a woman come together, you have to define that relationship. How are we going to do this thing? What are you going to do, and what am I going to do? And you know, you get all those things worked out so that you can define the relationship. What things do you do better than I do? What things do I do better than you? When we come to Jesus, that's an easy one.
All right then. Sure enough.
You see, he does all things better than you. But you need to define that relationship. Over in Colossians 2 and 6, Paul says, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
Walk in him.
Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Watch this next verse, 2:8. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Yes.
See, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him.
In him. Complete in him.
He completes me. Hallelujah. Define the relationship. I am his and he is mine. John 15:4 says it like this. It says, abide in me and I in you.
Yes.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine.
Yes.
Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. And you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit.
Much fruit.
For without me, you can do nothing.
Absolutely.
So how do we know if we are walking in the Spirit and if we are abiding in the vine? Got fruit. Huh? You see, when you get this relationship well defined, everything you do will have a purpose.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The spiritual fruit of love and joy and peace will be characteristics that you feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And patience and kindness and goodness will be things that you display on the outside. I'm going to say that again because somebody might have missed it. You see, when you got this relationship well defined, the spiritual fruit of love, joy, and peace, you feel on the inside. Patience, kindness, and goodness you display on the outside. Got fruit? Now these inward and outward characteristics are the result of God's Holy Spirit at work in you. You can experience a spiritual transformation once you define this relationship. And don't get spiritual fruit mixed up with spiritual gifts.
All right now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, when you come to Christ, God gives you one or more gifts to use for the body of Christ. If we use our gifts, all of us would do the right thing in here. We would form the body of Christ. Because
yes.
You are unique. God gave you certain gifts.
Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
every Christian ought to have.
Yes.
You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the Spirit, every Christian ought to have. I want to paint you a picture this morning. Can you visualize when you give your life to the Lord? Can you see your life bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit? Can you just imagine what your life would be like if the Holy Spirit really manifests itself in everything that you do?
Yes.
Everywhere you went, you'd be a source of God's presence. At family gatherings, when you're just around the family, people could see something different in you, and it'd be fruit. You'd be showing fruit, and people would see something different, and whatever you got, they'd want some of what you got. In just little family gatherings, right around your friends, they'd be, what is it different about him? And you tell them, you say, I got fruit.
All right now.
At the barber shop, hair salon, at the dentist's office, at the doctor's office, everywhere you go, in anytime you're given an opportunity, this little light of mine,
yes,
it's shining all the time. It shines so bright. Sometimes it blinds me that everywhere I go, because the Spirit of the Son is shining through.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, when you get this relationship well defined,
yes,
this Spirit of God will move you to freedom. You ever felt free? Most of us are not free.
Yes, God.
You know, we talk about slavery and all of that, but most of us are not free. Most of us are bound by this world. Something has got us that where we might be making all the money that we thought that all I need to do is make this amount and I'll be happy, but you're making twice that amount. You got twice the house that you ever thought you would have, and you're still not free.
All right.
You still feel like something is missing. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said it this way. He said in Galatians 5:1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made you free.
Yes,
And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, don't let this world tie you down.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you define this relationship, it'll lead you to holiness. Hallelujah. In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, in the second letter, chapter 2, verse 13, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you.
Yes.
Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. If you stick with God, if you stick with Jesus, he'll bring you to holiness. This holiness that we are called to exemplify, we need his power to do it.
Yes, yes.
He'll set you free. He'll make you holy.
Oh, yes, he will.
And then finally, it will guide you, lead you to bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. I just want to go through Galatians as we close. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is
love,
joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Keys to a fruitful relationship. Realize who you are. Realize who he is. And define your relationship.
All right.
And I'm going to just close with what the Spirit moves me to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a verse out of a song, and somebody needs to hear it. And it's the third verse, just in the middle of the song. That's what the Spirit tells me somebody needs to hear. It says it like this. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I do the best I can,
the very best I can, girl.
And my friends misunderstand, thou who knoweth all about me,
yes,
stand by me. Somebody, it could have been me, but somebody needs to hear those words.
Yes.
When you've done the best you can, and your friends don't understand, he who knows all about you, stand by me. Have you got fruit? If you don't have fruit, you need to figure out why it's not growing. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the probing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the question that just challenges us to go back and look at ourselves and see if we're producing what you call us to produce, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Sir, God.
And knowing that if we're not producing what you've called us to produce, it's not your fault.
Yes, sir, God.
But it's because we're not submitting. Guide us, Lord, by the hands of our mind, Lord. Touch us as we come to you, Lord God, as we come to you humbly, Lord God. Guide us and strengthen us, Lord, that we can be what you call us to be.
Yes, sir, God.
It is our desire, Lord, that we produce fruit worthy of you, Lord. Wherever I go, let the Spirit shine through me. Oh Lord, I pray right now. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We know that you will never fail us if we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
In the storm.